placeholder to. So we've been discussing verses 24, 25, and 26. And 26 brings us up to as to what is found in the Book of Mormon.
In Moroni. Verses.
The whole Book of Mormon. Isn't that what it is? It's all the books of the Book of Mormon.
Let me try to open another window in this and look at this from another viewpoint, you know, because I've never really understood that clearly because I didn't have enough information about the Levites and purifying. And I think what Darla said makes good sense about when Mulek traveled, he would have taken the priesthood with him, and they probably would have taken the ark with them if they were fleeing Babylon in complete destruction. You got to think about that. And what does purify mean? You know, from a physical or mortal perspective, we have our own impressions, but from a celestial perspective, could this be translating? Could this be, you know, I don't know. It brings a lot of things to question that they may not even know that they're descendants of Levi and be translated. I don't know, but it opens up a lot of questions about what that means to us, to them, and how that will happen or how we will know it's happened. I think that's a great research topic.
Let me read one other verse from DNC. This is from DNC 124, verse 39. Therefore, verily I say unto you that your anointings and your washings and your baptisms for the dead and your solemn assemblies and your memorials for your sacrifices by the sons of Levi and for your oracles in your most holy places, wherein you receive conversations and your statutes and judgments for the beginning of the revelations and foundation of Zion and for the glory, honor, and endowment of all her municipals are ordained by the ordinance of my holy house, which my people are always commanded to build into my holy name. Now that threw in a few extra words that maybe just adds to the confusion. I don't know. But
so what was that, DNC?
124, verse 39. I probably should start on 38.
I found a verse, if I could, in the book of Manti, which is out of the Nemenha record. And Manti is prophesying of our day. And he says this. This is chapter 13, verse 7 of the book of Manti. For the Lord has shown me the tabernacle in the wilderness that you shall build, and that it shall be by and through those ordinances that you have received of my father, Ogo, that this little tabernacle shall begin to grow and become a temple unto the Most High God. And the sons of Levi, even the Peli, shall begin again to purify their hearts after the manner of the Ammonites of old, and also in the manner taught by Jesus, and they shall once again begin to offer up a righteous sacrifice unto the Lord before the end comes. So just kind of an interesting, you know, side note that they, after the manner of the Ammonites of old, they will offer a righteous sacrifice to the Lord. I think when they talk about that, their righteous sacrifice is a broken heart and a contrite spirit.
Yeah.
They're offering that up to the Lord.
That feels right to me too.
Well, I have another idea. Like the tabernacle, you could now compare to the place of refuge. And then we need to grow as a spiritual people. And so we then become the sons and daughters of Levi, I think. You know, we have to build up the spiritual temple first in order to receive Jesus.
And we'll all come together. There will be the church, it's described in the DNC. There'll be the Nemenha people. There'll be I mean, we may not all be united now, but at some point, this is going to go to all nations, including the Jews, which is one of our jobs to do. And the Lord will work it all out to where all these layers of the onion that are, as you keep peeling off the layers of the onion, each layer looks just like the other layer, right? But they're different layers. We're going to start realizing that we all need to be united, but not in our own ways, but in the how the Lord will unite us. That DNC is very important in remembering that. And so is the eternal realm.
Yeah, let's review these footnotes on verse 26, and then let's end for today.
And can I add something? It's interesting that it says to purify, because it's also mentioned in verse 5, huh? The refiner who refines and purifies. That the sealed Book of Mormon is going to be such a great help to learn to be united.
Okay. Who would like to read Malachi 3:1-3? I guess I could do it. Get myself organized.
I got it.
Okay, go ahead.
Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a fuller's soap. I don't know. What's a fuller's soap? Is that a brand?
Yeah, I don't know.
Sounds like an American brand. What is it? What is it, a fuller's soap?
This comes from King James Version, so we can look at other versions. Let me do that while you finish.
And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. This is the good feelings. Oh, yeah, this is what I wanted to say, Michael. You said the broken heart and the contrite spirit, that is the gift. But I think also good feelings. Because with broken heart and a contrite spirit, I was always wondering, yeah, what exactly is that, you know? And I have some idea, but also to offer the good feelings is a more positive way to approach, I think.
Hey. I Googled on refiner's fire and fuller's soap. A fuller's job was to cleanse and whiten cloth. In Jerusalem, the cleaning process took place in a fuller's field outside the city because of the smell. Dirt and oils were removed from the wool so that it could be pure and white and ready to be dyed if desired.
Hey, that was the job of the prophetess, her husband. He was cleaning the garments of the Levites.
Yeah.
Right? In chapter 1, Moses.
And Balkia, you're 100% right on with our thoughts and our hearts being purified, because two people can view the same exact incident, and one can have positive, loving thoughts and the other contentious, harsh thoughts, and that us keeping ourselves and our minds and our intentions in check is huge in bringing forward the light that is going to be required when everything's falling apart around us, that we have to keep ourselves in check and managing our mind and our thoughts and our hearts and the love that we have is not an easy task. And there are experiences in each of our daily lives right now that are taking us to the brink, allowing us to exercise and understand what that means to manage our own mind so that we can be soft enough to be in a community without causing contention and problems.
Yes, mind and feelings.
And well, that's the thoughts that you have create our feelings. So that follows right in suit. Thanks, Balkia.
But it's interesting, the new project. I don't know if you already read it, but what the difficult word is that Mauricio cannot pronounce. The anthroposophmesionic or something. I don't know. Have you read it in the interview of the newspaper?
Oh, is that where it's at?
Yeah.
Okay, I was wondering what that word was.
You read it, Darla? Have you read it? No?
I thought I read all the stuff on the thread.
Hey, John Woodby was on the front newspaper, on the front page of the newspaper, John Woodby. Yes.
Well, I saw that they named the place of refuge after him.
Yes, no, yeah, you got something named after you, Stephen.
Yeah, no.
John Stephen Woodby Company.
Yeah, they were fired up, and they had already decided that. I told them, I think you probably could pick somebody else to put in that, but they weren't having it, so we kept it. That let me that word. We talked about this in the meeting after he had published or he had put that together, and having gone up to, I also went up to the Master's Corner and did the tour. And sat down and had an interview with some of their teachers and some of the others. And the principal that Antonio Menegget, I'm not very good at pronouncing his name. He's passed now, the founder of the center, was a philosopher. And he started off with the psychology about learning yourself. And now it's been going on for enough time that those young people and the generations of the teaching have gone on to take on leaderships in many countries, particularly in Europe. But it has manifested a profound difference in their learning, their self-esteem, their leadership capabilities. And it kind of equated with reversing the teaching of Nimrod. And Brother Mauricio had a very detailed understanding of it, and that it was given to Antonio as well from angels about teaching this. But he had a word for it that I'd never seen, and I don't know that I could spell it or repeat it without looking at the writing. But it meant knowing yourself. But it was fascinating to read some of the history and the details of how he wove that particular philosophy into all the disciplines that they taught, and how it changed the course of kids getting out of school. They were getting out looking at themselves completely differently. And that's what we need to do to put a barrier against Babylon and not fall back in that trap. Or at least that was the conversation mood that he gave about the information he had learned over the years. But I haven't gone up there and sat and seen it and talked to some of these young adults. They were impressive, very self-assured, very confident, not cocky, very well educated, and very humble.
And excuse me, see, that was that center which mm-hmm. is talked about? Okay, and it's close to there? Is it close to there?
It's 30 minutes ride up the road.
Really?
It's not far. It's absolutely gorgeous. You should see the fields of agriculture and fruit trees. And
right.
I mean, it's like you took that place from somewhere else and put it there, and it looked perfect. Everything was, as the military would say, high, tight, and dry, clean, well-kept, managed. Everybody had jobs. They went to school in the evenings and nights because they worked during the day, and they were a community.
Yeah.
It was impressive. Anybody that goes there needs to go see that.
But what happened with the guy? It went wrong, right?
Well, he had some partners and supporters that have since since he died, they kind of had an influence on him. I think from what little I understood from Mauricio was that he got swayed a little bit by the Babylon of the world and spending money and doing things that weren't with the initial plan. And then his partners since then have, and then they never did support itself from, you know, paying tuitions. It was all about what they grew and what they developed and what they sold. And the people that have it now are operating it on a negative budget. And Mauricio's had revelation that it will get to a point in time where they'll all but give it to us. Oh. Because it'll be such a debt load on the government there.
Okay.
He says we'll buy it. He didn't tell you the rest of the details. It'll be cheap.
Okay. Well, let's finish these final footnotes, and then we'll be done for the day. Have a closing song of prayer. Let's see. I think DNC 136 and DNC 133.2. We've got 136 here. And also the Lord shall have power over his saints and shall reign in their midst and shall come down in judgment upon Edema or the world. Idumea or the world.
It's earth.
Yes. And then 133 verse 2. Is the Lord who shall suddenly come to his temple, the Lord who shall come down upon the world with a curse to judgment, yea, upon all the nations that forget God and upon all the ungodly among you. I can see this nation is getting so bad. It's going to reap what it's sowing.
Ephesians 6:12. I think that applies exactly to everything we're seeing. Yeah. Higher spiritual evil.
What is that? Could you read that? Do you know it?
I can read it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Yes, indeed.
Russell, let me ask you a question since we're doing scriptures, because I had asked to make little notes of what was going on down there before. And I turned that into Mauricio and he printed it up. But the morning after I did that, I was led to this scripture in Doctrine and Covenants. And I think it was 29:23 or 24 or something. And it talked about Joseph would flourish in the wilderness, and the Lamanites will bloom or blossom like a rose. Now, I'm not sure I understand that really clear because I don't know where the Lamanites were, but that's suspected that might be the southern part of Brazil.
Yeah, it could be.
They've moved all around, and you can trace them through a lot of the petroglyphs and see how they've traveled and moved from the mound builders that you can see so many people in the regions and the trading that went back and forth in the trade routes. It's pretty phenomenal.
Where has that again?
Tribes interacted.
Well, I had to have it looked up. I think it was Doctrine and Covenants 29, 23, or 24 or something.
No, it's in DNC 57, looks like. At least okay. It talks about when will the wilderness blossom as the rose? When will Zion build in her glory? Where should will the temple stand? There's also DNC 49. Of 24, that might be the one.
That may be it. That may be it.
But before the great day of the Lord shall come, Jacob shall flourish in the wilderness, and the Lamanites shall blossom as the rose.
Yeah. I felt pretty strongly that was connected to what we were doing, because I wasn't looking that up. That just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Mauricio said that there's a tribe down there that the the angel has specifically told him to go witness to. And then at some point, and then after that time when people will be in the wilderness and the places of refuge, and then it comes to the day when we go back to Zion and the central state to build the temple and everything, that they are going to come with us. And there are a lot of tribes actually out there in South America too, besides, you know, all the Central American and North American tribes. There's a particular tribe that he's been told to go to that he knows, you know, that there's an amalgam of DNA in the Native Americans all over the place, but this particular tribe is from, I believe, well, I think it's Judah, I'm not sure, but their leader's named Moses. They wear Hebrew-like clothing and things like that. So it probably does, yeah.
Well, very interesting.
And okay. And you got the Europeans, you got the Germans and the Italians. It's such an interesting mix. It's amazing.
It what just gets better and better. Place.
Yeah. Wow.
All right, well, let's go ahead and I stopped recording.
Yeah, you can do that.